I was reading this week about an American actor and musician, Gene Autry. He came up with what is called the Cowboy Code many years ago. Yeah, he had a whole long list. I just chose a few. Yeah, he says, if you get to thinking you're a person of some influence, try ordering someone else's dog around. Another one is, never kick a cow pie on a hot day. Another one, there's two theories to arguing with a woman. Neither one works. Never slap a man who's chewing tobacco. If you find yourself in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. Always drink upstream from the herd. Don't kick a sleeping dog. The quickest way to double your money is to fold it over and put it back in your pocket. Don't squat with your spurs on. A bee is faster than a John Deere tractor. Don't name a cow you plan to eat. It don't take a very big person to carry a grudge. It's better to be a has-been than a never was. And here's one more then. And finally, after eating an entire bull, a mountain lion felt so good he started roaring. He kept it up until a hunter came along and shot him. The moral of the story, when your mouth is full of bull, keep it shut. Man, you know, the Cowboy Code, friends, works well to get a person through life on the range. But I would like to look at something else that will get us through life here as well. Not using the Cowboy Code, but using the Christian Code. But first, friends, listen. Human nature, with which we all are born, will not enter the kingdom of God. Human nature, with which all of us are born, will not enter the kingdom of God unless it is changed. And we call this change being born again. And what this means is that the Spirit of God creates something new in us. He takes the old heart of stone that rebels against God, and he puts in a heart of flesh, a heart that will trust God and follow his ways. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are a new creation. We are born again. And the old is gone and the new has come. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, look, see. That's what behold means. Look. All things have become new. To some here this morning, some only, I will not be making any sense. Because if you have not been born again, if you have not had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, You will not understand what I'm trying to say. The new birth is not caused by our faith. The opposite is true. Our faith is caused by the new birth. John 6 verse 65. No one can come to the Father unless it is granted to him by the Father. Therefore, friends, the life we have in Christ is owing wholly to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we have no ground to boast about it, that it's us. We live by the Spirit. The Bible says that which is spirit is born of the Spirit. Or that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, that which is begotten by the Spirit has the nature of the Spirit, is permeated by the character of the Spirit. And then now, what happens next? Well, Galatians 5:25 says, the next step is, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Another version says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. I found it really helpful, friends, to see that God desires through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that He's there to develop godly characteristics, that He's there to make you become like Jesus. He's there to please God. Today, I'd like to look at the concept of walking in the Spirit. What does that mean, friends, to walk in the Spirit? The Bible tells us that we are to walk in truth, walk in the light, walk in faith, walk in wisdom, walk in newness of life, and so on. But to walk in the Spirit is something. To walk means to live. It means to carry on. It means to behave and conduct ourselves in a manner that is pleasing to God. This is what we are encouraged to do this morning. If you are saying to me, Keith, I am born again, then the Holy Spirit is in you, working in you, empowering you, enabling you to become like Jesus and thereby please God. That is what it's about, friends. You can't say I'm going to carry on doing what I used to do and oh well. There has to be a change because the Holy Spirit is working in you, changing you, melting you, molding you to be like Jesus. Walking means our whole life, friends, being pleasing to God. It means do what we do each day by the Spirit of God. Live your life in all its details, from waking up in the morning to going to bed at night by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You know, sadly, friends, there are people who are under the banner of Christianity and they don't give the Holy Spirit a second thought. Huh? But the Holy Spirit is here this morning to talk to you and to me and to encourage us, friends. The Holy Spirit is not here to condemn us. But we got to start living and walking in the Spirit, friends. That is what the sermon is about. We can stop now. You know what it's about. If somebody says what it's about, this is what it's about. The moment we are born again, the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, the moment we become saved, that we begin to live for the Lord, to walk in the Spirit, and to please God by our words and our actions and our attitudes and our behavior. Means to engulf our minds in the Spirit. I love that scripture. It's not on the screen. You know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. There are only two ways to walk. Walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. But the choice is ours to make. A captain came over the loudspeaker, the PA system. The captain came over the PA system in the aeroplane and he said, "There's no cause for alarm, but we felt you passengers should know that for the last 3 hours we've been flying without the benefits of a radio, compass, radar and navigational beam due to a breakdown of some components. This means that we are in the broad sense of the word lost and are not sure of the direction we are heading. But you'll be glad to know, however, on the brighter side of the picture, we are making excellent time." And that's exactly how many people live their lives, friends. They don't know which way they're going. There's no direction. They don't know where they're heading to in life, but they're making excellent time. Friends, we must walk in the Spirit. We have to be intentional about our walk. We don't just let it happen. We've got to be intentional about walking in the Spirit. We have to pay attention to every step we take. Why? Because the Bible clearly shows that the inner Christian, listen to this, the inner being of a Christian is a battlefield. There is a war raging on in us. And it's clashing between the evil, sinful desires of the flesh and against the Holy Spirit. Yet, friends, if by our free will we submit to God's Holy Spirit and crucify the flesh day by day, we will walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we'll exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. But unfortunately, so many Christians don't pay attention to what God is saying to them, how they are to walk and live. There's a story that comes to mind in this regard, although fictional. I think you'll see what I mean. In Herman Melville's novel called White Jacket, one of the sailors on the ship takes sick with severe stomach pains. So Dr. Cuticle, the ship's surgeon, is delighted to have a patient with something more challenging to his art than blisters. He diagnoses appendicitis. Several shipmates are called to act as nurses around the table. And the sailor is laid out on the operating table and prepared for surgery. Dr. Cuticle goes at his work with great energy, enthusiasm, and skill. He makes his cuts with precision. And on the way to removing the diseased organ, he points out interesting anatomical details to the attendants around the table who had never seen the interior of an abdomen before. He's absorbed in his work and obviously good at it. And all in all, it is an impressive performance. But the sailors around the table are not impressed. They are appalled. You know why? The patient, by the time he was stitched up, he had been dead a long time on the table. You see, Dr. Cuticle, enthusiastic in his surgery, hadn't noticed. The sailors who were shy in their willingness to obey didn't tell you. And friends, the moral of the story is this. When doing something that is important, pay attention. Your life in God is extremely important. It deserves your full attention. Satan is against this. He's against that you give any attention to the Lord. And he declares war within us. He declares war within the Holy Spirit. You see, friends, a battle is raging. It's a battle of the flesh against the spirit. And Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 16 to 18, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so, yeah, friends, we see what is opposite to walking in the Spirit. That is giving in to the desires of the flesh. Remember, the flesh is that old nature of yours, that one that always wanted to exalt itself, always wanted to be greedy, put you ahead of everybody else, cause you to look down, that sinful nature that you were before you became a Christian. That's always wanting to exalt itself. And as a result, the person prefers to get satisfaction from independence and praise from other people. Oh, I love it when people tap me on the back and say how awesome I am. And wants power and prestige and pleasure and so on, right? Friends, when we walk in the Spirit, we are not controlled by these sinful drives. This is what verse 17 said, that the Spirit produces one kind and the flesh produces another kind, and they are opposed to each other. Walking by the Spirit, friends, is what we do when the desires produced by the Spirit are stronger than the desires produced by the flesh. This means that walking in the Spirit is something we do by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it by yourself, friends. Paul tells us the characteristics of a life lived by the flesh. Let's look at Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries. And you say, well, they don't have what I am there. No. If the list got too long and you still got a whole bunch, then the thing is, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things, listen, those who practice such things, what things? All those things listed there, plus you, other things. Though those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul gives us the characteristics of a life lived by the Spirit. And in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. While these things are going on that come under the power and the control of the flesh in your life, Paul says, wait, hang on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. See how opposite these are? And then in verse 24, Paul says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who are Christ, they crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. And then Paul adds in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us live in the Spirit, friends. Paul says the positive thing that we must do is walk in the Spirit. And then he's, if we remember it from back, but I'll just mention it. He said in verse 18, we are led by the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit initiates this whole thing. Hey, he walks with us. He leads us. And verse 25 says that we are to be active participants. We're not letting the Holy Spirit pull us and we're holding back, holding on. Yeah, no. He leads us. Say, come along. But we have to be active participants. We live in the Spirit, friends. Paul says the positive thing is that you've got to live in the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Paul uses the word walk, which speaks of someone who walks in line, someone who walks in step, someone who walks in harmony with someone who walks in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This, friends, means a disciplined walk in the things of God. Just as the natural tree desires to have a healthy, good soil, a healthy tree needs a good nutrients, needs careful pruning, needs a mixture of rain and sunshine in order to bear good fruit. The same is true about our lives, friends. We require good nourishment of prayer, Bible study, worship. We need the good nutrients and nourishment from fellowship one with the other, seeking God, serving God, friends. This is what it means. It's intentional. You've got to do it on purpose. We require the times of trial and blessing also. Ruth mentioned that both. In order that the fruit of the Spirit might be seen in our lives. If you say, Keith, you know what? At this time of my life, I don't see much fruit in my life. Then perhaps you're not walking in the Spirit. God is interested in every part of our lives. We need to submit every aspect of our lives to God. Our emotions, physical, emotional, physical, social, intellectual, vocational. Every part of our lives to the Lord. It's not enough to say we are born again. We must live the born again life in the Spirit. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. This is the secret of walking in the Spirit, friends. There is a raging battle going on in our lives, your life and my life too. And now you must ask yourself, friends, do I want to live the rest of my life with the things mentioned in verse 19 to 21? Things like adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalry, and other things. Hey, do I want that? If you say, no, Keith, don't, then you must ask, am I yielding to the Holy Spirit in my life? Am I yielding to the Holy Spirit who resides in my heart, in my life? Ask yourself, do I choose this day, now and forever, to live by the Spirit of God, where I see love, joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? Do I want to see this? If you say yes, then are you yielding to the Holy Spirit, friends, to help you, okay, to live a godly life? The choice is ours. It's our prayer this morning, every morning, before our feet hit the ground. God, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I may glorify you through my words and my actions and my attitudes and my deeds and my lifestyle. Either you live by the power of the Holy Spirit, which results in righteous behavior and spiritual attitudes, or we live under the law and it produces the opposite. Friends, listen. There's not a Christian in this world. Anyone. They need to hear this.
That's right.
Do you understand, friends? Don't say, this one doesn't apply to me. Every one of us, friends. Because I tell you, there's not a Christian. You can mention a famous person, and if we look into his life, you'll notice there's this battle going on, this war between the flesh and the spirit. It's going on all the time, friends. And you have to decide, you have to come to a place in your life where you yield to the Holy Spirit and say, God, help me. Help me. Friends, we must daily commit to the Lord. Daily crucify these evil desires. And moment by moment, draw on this Holy Spirit's power to overcome them. I just want to put up there in Galatians 22, verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Did I read that right? Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What another verse, I like this verse too. Paul later said in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Friends, have you noticed? I was reading this. I thought, let me ask. That in winter, some oak trees, in wintertime, some oak trees retain their crisp, dry leaves long after the maple trees and the elm and the walnuts have dropped all their trees. Even the strong winds do not completely strip the oak branches of all its old leaves. But as springtime progresses, warmer winds blow and something wonderful begins to happen. Tiny buds start appearing at the tips of the twigs, and the dry remnant of the preceding season falls off. And new leaf, new life begins to replace the old life. At times, old habits in our lives, some old habits, cling to our lives with the same tenacity as those old dry oak trees leaves. Even the winds of adversity do not remove all the lifeless leftovers of our fallen human nature. But God, friends, who dwells in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, He is at work in our hearts. Amen? His life within us continually seeks to push those old habits aside, renewing us when we confess our sins, steadying us when we falter, and strengthening us when we do His will. Pastor Dennis DeHaan says that when every effort to cast off an old sinful habit ends in failure, remember the mighty oak tree. Thank God for His Spirit who lives in you. Keep saying yes to His gentle urging to be kind and loving and compassionate and honest and faithful. And eventually, those lifeless old leaves will begin to fall off, friends. How can a Christian survive the disasters that threaten spiritual well-being? Friends, this is it. We must walk in the Spirit. We must live in the Spirit. This means relying on the Comforter to produce spiritual fruit in our lives. One day, a young artist was very unhappy and dissatisfied with his painting. So somehow he went to a very great painter, and he borrowed a paintbrush. But the brush didn't seem to make any difference in his painting until someone came along and said, "It's not the master's brush you need, but the master's spirit." How true is this, friends, for us? The master's brush would be nice. Some material blessings are nice, but what we really need is the master's spirit. We need his spirit. Let's just put that slide back on in closing. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. May the Holy Spirit help us to walk with Him every day. Amen. Amen. May His fruit characterize our lives. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We admit and we confess, Lord, that there is this battle taking place within our lives. And while we desire to do good, we end up doing that which is not good. The things we do, we don't want to do those things we do. And so, as I mentioned, that every Christian in the world needs to hear how important it is that we walk in the Spirit. That, Lord, this is what we need. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need help, Lord. We need the enabling. We need the empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Help every Christian here. And as we look around the world and we see all different signs that are mentioned about, even in Bible days, Lord, this is the time now where we can't be flirting with the enemy. This is the time when we can't be giving in to the weaknesses of the flesh. I pray, Father, that instead you may help us, everyone here, and may the days that lie ahead see us becoming stronger and stronger in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we begin to see godly characteristics in everybody's life, that others who are not part of the family of God yet, that others who are not Christians yet, they will know that there is something remarkable in our lives. That indeed they see love and joy and peace and all that, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit residing in our lives. And that you will receive all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for putting up with me, friend. You know, I was violently ill last night. When I was a little boy, I developed this migraine headache business. My grandmother and others, my brother, sister, all had this thing. My nephews, nieces have this terrible thing. And so I was saying to Dwight, you know, last night was a really bad one, eh? I thought I'm gonna die last night. My head felt like it's gonna explode. And Helen was with me, waking up every few minutes until 4 o'clock this morning. On Wednesday night, in the prayer meeting, God gave me a word for the church. That in these days, there are more people who are giving in. There are more people who are giving up. And now the Lord is all, He wants us to not give in, friends. Eh? Don't give in. Don't give in. Everything will say, give it in, man. It's not worth it. This is better. That's better. But I want to encourage you, friends. Don't give in. You will come across people that you looked up to as spiritual mentors who are walking by the wayside, who have fallen by the wayside. And you'll say, why? They were such super Christians. And some of us, we're struggling because we're sick, man, hey? We got physical problems. Others are emotional, financial. Some got financial problems. You look at, yeah, they smile, man. They look awesome. But it's struggling, man. And Ruth said this morning, sometimes we're struggling, man. Hey? Sometimes we're struggling, man. But the Lord is for us, man. Hey? The Lord is for us. And He's saying, don't give up, man. Don't get discouraged to the point where you no more, you don't want to be involved anymore. Hey? Come on, He says, let's keep going. Let's keep serving God. Amen.